This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
It's the Blood Red Podcast, courtesy of the Liverpool Echo. Virgil goes under the knife as Jurgen Klopp's defensive options get set to go under the microscope, with the Reds out to avoid a fright on Danger Night against West Ham. I'm Guy Clark. Welcome along to Friday's Blood Red Podcast as we look forward to the Reds' Halloween showdown with West Ham United. We'll discuss Virgil van Dijk's ACL surgery, Jurgen Klopp's defensive options with Fabinho the latest to pull up lame. Plus, we'll look ahead to action against West Ham. Alongside me, the Echo's own pair of trick-or-treaters. I'll let you choose which one's which. Paul Gorst and Joe Rimmer, gentlemen, how are we?
Not bad, Guy. I can tell from Joe's face that he's probably going to make a similar point as me. You call him the Danger Night. If you're going to be in Liverpool, it's called Mizzy Night.
Danger Night. I put my cup of tea down. I wasn't expecting that. Is that what you call it where you come from?
Well, it's just Halloween, isn't it? I thought, as I say, I'm not into the local lingo with you guys, yeah. But yeah.
Halloween tomorrow.
Mischief Night is also known as Mizzy Night.
Right, okay,
so that's what you need to be calling it.
It is a Halloween game, though, Joe. I know it's tomorrow, but that's exactly when the game is. It is tomorrow. It's on Halloween.
No, but you said Danger Night, which, so what's Danger Night? I thought you meant Danger Night as in Mizzy Night, which is tonight in Liverpool.
Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. I just meant it's a game on Halloween and Liverpool need to not lose to West Ham United.
I thought that was a thing.
Yeah.
Not the
Paul and I celebrate Mizzy Night, of course. We won't be going out egging anyone's houses tonight, no. Except for yours.
Right, okay, you're going to have to come a fair distance to get to mine. But anyway, let's get into everything. We'll touch on Virgil van Dijk, as I say, and the surgery he's had to have. We'll get into the West Ham game eventually, as well as Jurgen Klopp's mood in his press conference. But Gorsty, come to you first on Virgil van Dijk. And he has had that surgery and it has been a success.
He has. Great news. He went under the knife. Liverpool didn't explicitly stress when it was, but I think it's fair to assume it was at some point this week, and it's all gone swimmingly. It was in London. Obviously, they would have had him in front of the top surgeons, wouldn't they, in the country, you know, given how important he is to the cause. And you know, they would have done that for any player, to be fair. But so it's gone well by all accounts, and now it's just a case of resting, recuperating, and then the rehab starts whenever it does. I mean, it'd be interesting to get kind of physiotherapy's timeline on what happens next in terms of that comeback from injury. But it's great news for Liverpool. Still unsure as to whether he'll be able to play a significant part this season, but still good news.
Yeah, certainly. And Joe, it is a case of, obviously, we know he's going to be out for a long time. Gorsty's saying there, really, I suppose now it is a case of the rehab starting from now. Jurgen Klopp was quite, I know there's no time frame on it, but if Jurgen Klopp could be optimistic, he was in the press conference sort of saying that Virgil van Dijk's previous injury track record will sort of stand him in good stead.
Yeah, it will. I mean, I think the key thing that Klopp said is he can deal with pain, didn't he? So he's clearly a player that will put himself through the pain barrier. But I think Liverpool will be careful with him because, you know, there's dealing with pain and then there's perhaps taking any risks. And Liverpool won't want to take any risks. And they won't want to put any pressure on him either. There's no point Klopp sitting there and saying, oh, well, you never know, we could get him back in 6 months if it then takes him a little while longer. So Liverpool won't put pressure on him. You know, I think that's why they try and keep these things low-key. And it's the correct way to do it. So, you know, it's good that the surgery's been a success. Hopefully now he can get back and really start to make his recuperation. But yeah, I don't think Liverpool will want to put any pressure on him. So it was good of Klopp to say that, but I don't think he'll be expecting miracles anytime soon.
Yeah, virtually you were in Klopp's presser, Gorsty, listening into what he did have to say. And as Joe said, they're not sort of going to put any time frame on it. Probably best to expect, really, it's going to be a bonus if he does return before the end of the season. But it was dominating the chat, certainly early on, all talk about Virgil van Dijk. And understandable so, because the news coming out about the surgery. But Jurgen Klopp seems very much as though he's done with that and now he wants to move forward.
I think so, Guy. I think if Liverpool didn't want it to kind of dominate the chat, then they would have maybe put that news out a couple of hours later than they did. You obviously come out around about, what was it, 10, 11, something like that, to give everyone heading into the Zoom Harmony to come with armed with questions. So, it's going to be a huge talking point, isn't it? I mean, it probably will be for the rest of the season. The rights and wrongs of the challenge and what's gone on since with Pickford and Van Dijk, and he's so important to the Liverpool cause. So it's always going to be a big topic of debate, and especially for us who kind of leave no stone unturned when we're talking about Liverpool, do we? So it's just going to be a case of seeing how it gets on now, isn't it? With his rehab and so on, and it was stressed to me a couple of weeks back that the player's injury record and the fact that he's a quick healer means that they do have hope of him kind of not saying definitively he's not going to play again this season. He's obviously got the European Championships coming up as well. But by that token, Liverpool weren't looking to kind of be optimistic at all and give false hope or you know, promises that couldn't be made. So it's just a case of waiting and seeing. And not necessarily what fans want to hear. Fans want to hear that he's going to be out for, you know, 3 months and a week and he's going to be back for this game or that game. But that's just not feasible or realistic, is it? So it's just Liverpool are going to have to crack on and in a few months' time kind of see where they are with his recovery.
Joe, do you think it's all sort of been brought back up again in this week, of course, because Fabinho got the injury that he did against Midtjylland? Otherwise, it would have been Virgil van Dijk's had his surgery and everything sort of moving on. But the focus really intently again back on sort of what Jurgen Klopp has to play with defensively.
Of course. I mean, you know, that Fabinho injury, you know, changes the shape of things again, doesn't it? Just when it looked like he was settling into that role and he played really well for a couple of games there. And now, you know, Chelsea away and Ajax away were both very good games for him. And now Liverpool are going to have to rethink it again. And no, it's a crisis like Liverpool haven't dealt with in quite a few years. And Klopp probably hasn't dealt with one in his Liverpool reign, so quite like this with the injuries. And I think that's probably why you've seen a touchy Klopp today, I think, in his press conference. I think that would be fair to say. And possibly in quite a few press conferences, because look and look around the league, I think many of the managers feel the same, is that there are a lot of injuries and they feel like perhaps this season wasn't as well planned out as it could have been. You know, the next international break is 3 games, isn't it? And there are friendlies being scheduled and whatnot. And I think managers are quite frustrated at the way players are being treated. So, you know, Fabinho's injury just piles on the misery for Liverpool at the moment in terms of injuries. But look, I think with injuries comes opportunity, and you know, players like Reece Williams, we'll see how he gets on. He looks like the main candidate to play at centre half for Liverpool tomorrow, and you know, he's made a good impression. And I don't want to pile any pressure on him because he's a very young lad, and let's face it, he was at a much lower level last season than Liverpool, and I don't think any of us would have thought he'd got on to be a Liverpool first teamer. But you never know; this opportunity has arisen, and you know, he could then nail his place down and become one of Klopp's permanent options. The same goes for Billy the Kid, as Klopp calls him, and maybe even Nat Phillips as well. So, you know, I think Liverpool need to just accept these injuries now, and I'm sure they will look at it with a positive attitude and try and get some of these kids in the team, build them up and let them build up some confidence. Because Liverpool can still get on the front foot. They'll still dominate the ball. So, you know, they're not going to be having to be doing as much defending as some other teams do. So I think they've got to look at the opportunity that comes up with these injuries, because they've happened, there's no change in them, and they've just got to get on with it.
Yeah, as Joe said it there, Gusty, sort of made me think about Jurgen Klopp maybe being a bit tetchy. We've not had one of those belly laughs for a little while now from Jurgen Klopp, and it seems as though sort of everything that gets brought up in a press, it seems to annoy him. Even during the week after Reece Williams came on, he was asked about him, how well he played, and he said, well, all you guys are going to do is go away and talk about him for a week. You're going to big him up, and it's going to be sort of a bar too high for him to get to. Everything at the moment just seems to just be grinding on him a little bit.
Yeah, he is cutting a bit of a frustrated figure at the moment. And for me, it almost goes back to when he interjected on Roy Keane, when Keane had the temerity to suggest that Liverpool had been sloppy against Arsenal. Since then, I mean, he was obviously very frustrated after the Merseyside derby when someone said, oh, what about Mo Salah, that's his 100th goal? And he said, yeah, well, you know, just go back and, you know, and find another time when I've talked about how great Salah was, because I'm not in the mood to talk about it today. And if you'd asked Mo, he wouldn't be either. And then there was the press conference at Ajax, which I found fascinating. I thought, I thought Liverpool actually put Gino Wijnaldum up in front of the cameras because he's quite happy-go-lucky and quite, you know, amenable and whatever else. And he was saying how, you know, he kind of talked about how bad Pickford's tackle was, and then Klopp was getting very tetchy and frustrated, and it's, the whole thing seemed to drag on about 20 minutes too long for him. And at one point, he actually responded to a question from one of the foreign journalists. He said something like, "Oh my God, are you actually a journalist asking a question like that?" And it just seems to be a regular thing at the moment. Seems to be getting a little bit frustrated, a little bit tetchy, and it makes a change to us from last season when Liverpool were winning every game and you were running out of things to ask him and trying to come at things from different angles, because it's the same thing every week. Liverpool had won again. What's your ask this week? Liverpool had won again. What's your ask the next week? So it's a little bit different at the moment, and it's interesting for us. But yeah, he does seem to be a little bit borderline angry at times this season.
It's funny you should say that, Gusty, because, you know, I think I can understand he's angry about injuries, perhaps about the fact Liverpool are having to play so many games and whatnot. But like, it's not as if Liverpool have been that bad, is it? You know, they've lost one game, albeit very heavily, at Aston Villa, and then they've drawn a game, albeit in very controversial circumstances, at Everton. Other than that, they've won everything, haven't they? They've been knocked out the League Cup as well. But other than that, they've won other league games. They've kept clean sheets in the Champions League, made a perfect start there. You know, I think Liverpool have set such high standards in the past couple of seasons. You're looking at this start of the season and almost thinking it's not that good. But I think if you step back, it's actually a good start to the season. It's much better than some of their rivals. And, you know, should Liverpool pick up another couple of wins in the next week, and, you know, even if they can get a draw at City, I think they go into the next international break well positioned. So, you know, it's funny that Klopp is in such a bad mood at the moment, considering his team aren't playing that badly. It's just a case of a bit of bad luck, some controversial decisions, and, you know, some bad injuries as well, I guess.
Let's talk a bit more about the injuries then, and really hammer the point home for Jürgen. I'm sure he'll enjoy that, listening into the Blood Red podcast. But Gorsty, looking at the defensive options for Jürgen Klopp, I suppose we're talking about a crisis defensively in terms of injuries, but there's a lot of midfielders out as well. So even if you're thinking of senior players like Jordan Henderson or even Gini Wijnaldum slotting in at centre-half as they have done in the past, I suppose even numbers in midfield are limited. It is pretty much going to be down to the kids.
I think so, and I think the lack of midfielders is probably why Klopp moved to the 4-2-3-1 of the last couple of games. Obviously, he's wanted to get Jota in the team, and they're playing teams at home in Sheffield United and Midtjylland, who he'd be expected to dominate and create more chances against. So I think both of those have had the kind of bearing on why he's decided to go with that. But I think he can't actually go with the three in midfield because there's no one there. I mean, he needs Fabinho to play in defence. And then he's got Thiago, who's out, and Naby Keita, Oxlade-Chamberlain. So his options were thinning. So it was down to Milner, Wijnaldum and Henderson kind of rotating and chopping. So I think that has pretty much facilitated that change. Hopefully over the next few weeks he'll be able to have a few more options available to him. But Liverpool at the moment, they're the walking wounded, aren't they? Matip doesn't look like he's going to be involved. Keita again. Oxlade-Chamberlain, still kind of no update on him, and he's been out for quite a while now, hasn't he? And the Bulls just patching themselves up and getting on with it. Curtis Jones is obviously an option, but at a time when, at the beginning of the season, you look at the Bulls' options midfield-wise and you think they were absolutely stacked, weren't they? I think they've got about seven or eight on the books, but they're all, you know, dropping like flies at the moment, so it's a difficult one. And between tomorrow's game and the 1st of December, I think you've got seven games and a two-week international break in between that. So it's just an incredibly difficult period. And Klopp likened it today to the normal December period, which is always crazy anyway. So it's going to be, what, two months now at least of, you know, crazy games coming left and right. So Liverpool have really got to kind of dig in, and the physiotherapists are going to earn the corner, I'd suggest.
Yeah, it is going to be a hectic one. And obviously Liverpool do have that the 25-man squad for the Premier League. I was going to say, Joe, we sort of through the summer spoke about how heavily stocked Liverpool were with midfielders, and Gruitch would need to go out, otherwise he wouldn't be playing. Again, obviously registration rules meant even if he'd stayed around, he probably couldn't have been selected. But you do look at it, and as Gusty said there, Jurgen Klopp saying we've had an October like a normal December, we've got a November like a normal December, and December is December. It is going to sort of have to be fix and make do at times.
Definitely. And I think, as Gorsi's just alluded to, that's why you're seeing, you know, different changes of formation, and you might see a few more. We've seen him, you know, I think Doyle wrote a piece the other day about the Brighton game a few years back when he played a very strange three at the back with Wijnaldum in it. And, you know, I think Klopp's not afraid to get creative when he has to sort of solve some of these problems. So I think we might see some weird wonderful weird and wonderful formations at times for Liverpool in the coming few months. But yeah, I mean, look, injuries happen, don't they? They don't always mount up like this. But if Liverpool can look at it and think, if we can get through this period and still be sort of leading the way, or, you know, close contact to the top, then, you know, they can get back and really push on. Because, you know, I still think, considering they've got these injuries, they're not playing too badly, then it's not the end of the world, is it? The injuries are bad and they've all mounted up, but Liverpool have got more than enough quality to get through. And if they can get one or two players back, they all seem close, the likes of Thiago, Matip. So if they can get one or two players back, they can get through this period. So, you know, I think it's about staying positive. I think it's about being creative. And, you know, I think Klopp's the type of manager that will do that, and he will get them through it.
Last one on injuries then, before we move on and talk a bit about Vita Matos and the role he's played in certainly helping the progress of young Reece Williams. That was an interesting thing to come out of the press conference. But Joe, just wanted to ask you about Naby Keita. Gorsty sort of mentioned on Monday's podcast, really, that maybe patience is beginning to wear thin. I think, is that fair to say, Gorsty, that was sort of the view, that he just seems to pick up these injuries constantly? And when does it get to a time with Liverpool when they look at it and go, well, this just isn't working out for anyone?
Yeah, very true. I kind of likened Keita and Matip in the same boat, didn't I? And said that it's news when fit rather than when they're injured. We talk about Keita a lot. It's the same thing. No, I don't think there's any questions over his ability on the ball and his talent. It's just a case of, can he stay fit? Can he put together a run of 10 games, you know, on spin? Can he show Klopp that he's capable of doing that, of fitting into his midfield? And so far, for various reasons, that hasn't been the case, and Matip is similar as well. He seems to miss more chunks of games, but both of their injury records are very worrying at a time when Liverpool don't really have too many numbers.
Yeah, Joe, have you got anything to sort of add on that? Certainly in terms of Keita, because he, I think he's missed, what, 4 games now, but like Matip, he's got this sort of ability to just go through stretches and stretches of games. Before you know it, he's probably missed 2 or 3 months of a season.
Yeah, well, that's the frustrating part, isn't it? That these players seem to disappear. I mean, to be fair, Klopp alluded to it, didn't he? He said, you know, you have a 2-week injury and you miss 4 games. And I suppose that is the special nature of this season. But yeah, they do seem to pick up these injuries. And, you know, that Liverpool seem to play them down, but then they seem to be missing for a fair chunk of games. But look, I don't want to speculate about, we don't know what's up with Naby Keita at the moment. Liverpool have been quite guarded on it, so I think it's fair to speculate this latest injury. But I think more importantly for him is, when he does get in the team, he needs to start stamping some authority on games, because let's face it, he started this season in the team, didn't he? You know, had a decent pre-season and started, and again, just didn't do enough really to justify being, you know, someone that isn't dropped to the bench. And I think with Keita, that's been the problem with him throughout his whole Liverpool career. We've seen flashes, and I know the, you know, statistics back up the fact that when he's on the ball, he does a lot. But for me, he just drifts on the periphery of games far too often. He's not involved enough. He's not strong enough, and that's a big issue in a Klopp midfield. So, you know, I think, you know, once Keita does get back fit, the big challenge for him between now and the end of the season will be to have some sort of authority on games and make himself undroppable. Because if he doesn't, by the time you get through to next summer, and, you know, Liverpool are plotting for the next phase, surely they're going to start looking at him and thinking, if people are expendable, is he a player that's expendable? And you know, it seems a shame to say that about a player with clearly with talent, someone that a lot of Liverpool fans are very, very excited about. And, you know, it just hasn't really happened for him at Liverpool. He's never been able to put together enough games. So, you know, wishing the best. Hopefully he gets back fit and hopefully he finally sort of puts it all together at Liverpool, but we're still waiting for it.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Let's nail down this centre-half debate then. Who may well step in with Fabinho out? Jurgen Klopp confirming that in his press conference. He spoke about the exceptional progress that Rhys Williams has made in recent weeks and months at Anfield. And here's what he had to say in his press conference on that.
The situation was one of the benefits of having Vitor Maios in the coaching staff because he made us aware of him and said, he is really good, so take him in training, stuff like this. So that's what we did, and he looked good. But we have still Billy the Kid and we have Nate Phillips as well, so these are the boys.
Billy the Kid and Nat Phillips, along with, of course, Rhys Williams' options at centre-half. But, of course, the Jurgen Klopp there name-checking Vitor Matos, the man who has the role that Pep Linders once had at Liverpool. And it has been sort of a remarkable rise for Rhys Williams, no matter which way you look at it.
It has. I mean, I was as shocked as anyone when I seen his name on the team sheet for Lincoln, which was only, what, a month ago? Maybe a little bit more than a month ago. And since then, he's played two Champions League games, two League Cup games. So he's really come from nowhere at a time when we were hearing so much about Billy the Kid, as Klopp calls him, Billy Cometio, over the summer. I spoke to somebody who was in the Austrian pre-season tour, and they were raving about Cometio, to be fair. They were talking about how he's kind of settled in, and he's very polite and respectful of his senior pros. He's always looking to learn and kind of improve just watching them. And how could you not improve as a defender when you're watching Van Dijk at close quarters? So for Rhys Williams to kind of come from nowhere is a bit of a surprise. But I thought he was excellent on Tuesday. We did a Man of the Match survey on the Wednesday, and I actually put forward the case for Williams, because he's kind of thrown into the deep end in a Champions League game. Okay, not the toughest opposition in the group, but certainly could have easily have been overawed that night. And I remember one interception in particular in the second half where he really kind of stepped into it and cut out the danger. And I think, you know, when you consider he was at Kidderminster last season, he's, you know, it's a world away, isn't it, from what he's been used to. So, fair play to him. I still think it's probably a little bit too early for Cometio. He's only recently turned 17, I think. And Matt Phillips, judging from what Klopp was saying today, he's just basically still on the books because no team were able to come in with the money because of funds and so on in the window. So it's Klopp does have options, but I think he's possibly going to go with Jordan Henderson at centre back tomorrow, I think. I mean, he suggested something else, which I'm not going to ruin because it's a bit of a shock one. But if you stay tuned for the 10:30s tonight, he's put forward another suggestion at centre back, which really would be a bit of a surprise. But I thought Henderson coming off at half time on Tuesday was something down to the fact that he had one eye on him playing centre back tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, Adrian playing centre-half against his former side then does sound interesting. No, of course, that one is a joke. Joe, looking at Rhys Williams, though, he's been with Liverpool, I think, since the age of 8 or 9. He might not be a Liverpool lad, but in many ways, he's living the dream, isn't he? Coming on in Champions League games and playing, albeit it's an empty Anfield, but he's been through the system and now he's getting a chance in the first team.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love the story. I love that when you see a player like Rhys Williams, and if you go and have a little look at the pictures from the games that he's played, he looks made up, doesn't he? He looks so happy to be representing Liverpool, and there's something special about that. And I love the story. I love that he was with Kidderminster last year, and that he's almost come from nowhere. And do you know what? Gorsley knows a bit more than me, but I'd be surprised if he didn't play tomorrow. I think, you know, it's spoke volumes that he came on the other night and played, and Klopp's put his faith in him. And there seems to be something about him, a presence perhaps. You know, he obviously, perhaps those experiences, both physically and mentally in the lower leagues, has done him some good, because, you know, I think there's a presence about him. He's clearly quite good in the air. I love his little Van Dijk look about him. And I just think that, you know, I think this could be the making of him. Look, you know, this time next year, he might not be at Liverpool, but, you know, this might earn him a career much higher up the leagues than perhaps he would have had. And, you know, I think it's really good. So I think we should embrace it and wish him the best. I hope that he does play tomorrow. I think it's interesting as well when Klopp talks about Kometi, he keeps mentioning Billy the Kid, doesn't he? And he clearly rates him quite highly, because if you've noticed, when the questions aren't so much about Billy the Kid as an option, Klopp gets him in there, doesn't he? He says, Billy the Kid. So I think Klopp has seen something in him that he likes quite a lot. But to me, he just seems a little bit more raw, whereas Reece Williams, perhaps for that experience of going out and playing, seems a little bit stronger, both mentally and physically. So, you know, I think it's good. I just think it's enjoyable and made up for him. But I hope he plays tomorrow. And then there's, of course, Nathaniel Phillips, who has looked quite good in the past as well, and did himself justice last year when he played a couple of games as well. So, you know, the three of them will have to step up. But that's going to be the challenge for Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is going to be the challenge. I don't know, maybe, probably not something we all too much know about, but I wonder, Gorsley, if the whole Billy the Kid thing as well is the fact that he is left-footed. Of course, Virgil van Dijk plays on that left-hand side of defence, so if he were going to come in, it maybe doesn't mean the whole system has to get rejigged quite so much?
Possibly, but then van Dijk's not left-footed, as he does play on the left, but kind of in that position he plays, he does the long diagonal with the right foot, doesn't he, normally to Trent. So I think Kometi is probably third in the three horse race. If it is going to be one of those three flying tomorrow, Kometi, Williams, or Phillips. And I can see what Joe means about, you know, just giving Williams a go, and he hasn't put a foot wrong so far, has he? So why not? This could be the making of him, as he says. But I personally think it would be Henderson tomorrow, and he's obviously played there before in the Club World Cup against wasn't Flamengo, was it? It was the semi-final.
Monterrey, was it?
Monterrey, yeah, that's them, yeah. Wijnaldum's played there against Brighton in a Premier League game as well. So that wasn't a back three, so that was a little bit different. But I think Jordan Henderson is probably the front runner at the moment, which means that it could be Milner and Wijnaldum in midfield. But there are a number of options available to Klopp, and none of them are ideal. I think we all know that, but it's not as dire a situation as perhaps it first felt when Fabinho came off on Tuesday night.
Yeah, certainly, and echo what you said before, Joe, about, I know Jurgen Klopp was saying we're going to talk a lot about Reece Williams and build him up in the press and everything, but I think everybody really just wishes the young lad well and wishes it really could be them. He's, as I said before, living the dream, and a player who certainly is living the dream is going to make his 100th league appearance for the Reds tomorrow is Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's gone through that same path and he's going to reach 100 league appearances, which for his age is quite a remarkable feat.
Yeah, it's funny with Trent, because I always think he's not, but it almost feels sometimes like he's a little bit underrated, that people take it for granted because he's so young. I said this before, that he was a young right back playing for Bayern Munich, you know, everyone would be raving about him, but because he plays for Liverpool, perhaps I don't think, you know, the wider public, he gets the credit he deserves. He doesn't play for England that often, does he? For some strange reason, but I mean, just look at his ability on the board. You see his like volleyed crossfield pass the other day against Mithyland. I mean, he's a class above, isn't he? And he's a special footballer. They don't come around that often, and he's reinvented the fullback position in many ways for Liverpool because he's took it onto a whole new level. You know, he's a quiet local lad. I mean, there's everything to like about him. I did think what Klopp said about Reece Williams, by the way, just to take you up on that point, was slightly unfair. You know, you'll go away and build it up. Well, I don't think that. I think it's just that it's a good story. And like you say, you know, I don't think there's anyone doing any harm to Reece Williams, that people are happy for him. And, you know, Liverpool are going to have to use people like him. So I don't think it's building him up. No one's come out and said he's any better than, you know, you'd expect. I think people are just happy with it and think it's an incredible story, because it is. So, yeah, I thought that was slightly unfair. But with Trent, it goes under the radar how consistent he's been, 100 appearances at such a young age. He's leaps and bounds ahead of the likes of Gerrard, was at the same age, who hadn't made near as many as appearances. And, you know, I think that speaks volumes. So, yeah, just a fantastic footballer and really one we can really, really enjoy watching for years to come.
Yeah, whilst it probably, Gorsty, feels as though it's years down the line, it does sort of feel as though, in many ways, the Liverpool captaincy is Trent's destiny further down the road. But I suppose this season, looking at it, Jordan Henderson hasn't been available all the time. Fabinho's obviously just picked up that injury. Virgil van Dijk as well. How timely was that performance as well in midweek from Trent Alexander-Arnold to, once again, as we've said so many times, run the game from right back, but sort of just, I suppose, was there to be counted and now be one of the senior figures, albeit only into his early 20s?
Yeah, I had the chance to speak with Trent last year when he made his 100th Liverpool appearance. This is obviously his 100th Premier League appearance. And he said before, yeah, I'll make no bones about it. I want to be Liverpool captain. And I love that. There's a lad from West Derby. He's an unbelievable player. I mean, as Joe says, it is. It's kind of strange how he's kind of overlooked, really. I mean, he's playing at right back for the team that won the Premier League by 18 points. Got 25 assists over the last two seasons. He's playing in the defence that's been the best in the Premier League for the last two seasons. Over 100 appearances. He's only just turned 22 this month, was it? Just an absolute phenomenal footballer. World-class, one of the finest in European football, from West Derby. He's just an absolute credit to the city. I can't actually speak highly enough of him. I love him, and I love the fact that he's going to be at Liverpool for 10 years and more. So he will be captain one day, and I can't wait for that day because, as I say, I just think he's a fantastic player and a great person.
Yeah, certainly. Let's have a quick chat then about the Hammers. David Moyes, tactical genius. He's got them playing, Joe.
He has got them playing. They seem to concede a few, don't they? But yeah, I mean, there seems to be a bit of a spirit about them that there hasn't been. You know, West Ham are one of those funny football clubs that I think year to year their team seems to change personnel. Half the time I couldn't tell you who they bring in and who they ship out. So they do undergo a lot of change, but there just seems to be a bit of bounce about them now, which fair play to David Moyes. I honestly think that a lot of us didn't think he was capable of putting that energy back into a team. But yeah, he's done that well. So a bit interesting one tomorrow. I still fancy Liverpool. Let's face it, West Ham were 3-0 down to Tottenham not so long ago. You know, although they came back, it's not something you do every week, is it? So, you know, they're still there to be got at. So I still fancy Liverpool. But yeah, be interested to see David Moyes take on Klopp for another time. So yeah,
do West Ham, Gorsty, sort of, when you look at them, highlight sort of how you have those teams in mid-table in the Premier League, the likes of sort of West Ham, Newcastle, even maybe sort of a side historically like Aston Villa, who aspire to be greater. They go out, splurge a load of money on foreign stars. It doesn't work out. David Moyes has ripped it right back to basics. They've got a big lad in midfield who gets forward in Suchek. They've got Fabianski in goal and Mikel Antonio, who probably is likely to miss the game up front. But it's a back to basics approach, but it's working well for them.
It is. They're certainly showing some goals at the moment, aren't they? And Mikel Antonio, for me, is just a fantastic player. But I'm not really sure where he's best suited. I mean, I think he's played right back before. He's played right wing. He seems to be leading the line at the moment. But either way, I mean, it's great news that he's unavailable for Liverpool tomorrow, because imagine if you do have young Reece Williams lining up and Antonio licking his lips at the prospect of a 19-year-old coming up against him, isn't he? So that is the big plus point for Liverpool. And I, to be fair to David Moyes, I mean, he's kind of an easy one to poke fun at, isn't he? And I think a lot of that comes from when he was Manchester United manager. Was kind of the birth of the internet memes and the Twitter memes, where it's just easy to kind of sum up what was viewed as poor management on a meme. He was manager of Everton for 10 years or so, and he had them consistently punching well above the weight, considering the lack of finances that they'd spent. And I know it was a few years ago now, but He's never been a poor manager for me. It was just the timing of the United job, and anyone coming into that was always going to struggle, and perhaps he didn't get the players he wanted. He's never been a poor manager, and at the moment he's got them playing well. I mean, I don't think they're going to keep her up throughout the season, and I don't think they're going to be challenging for the top six, but at the moment they are in form, and I've seen them last week against Manchester City, and probably a little bit unfortunate. Played well, could have easily won that on another day, and it's going to be a difficult one for Liverpool to manage with if West Ham play anywhere near the way they have been since the start of the season.
Yeah, and it's a game normally, Joe, that ends well for Liverpool. Certainly the games at Anfield take away the 3-0 in August 2015, and Liverpool seem to score goals, and score goals are plenty at home against the Hammers.
Definitely, yeah. Some good memories. Torres' hat-trick sticks out in my mind, and Michael Owen always seems to score past them. You know, I think that, you know, Liverpool have always had a good record against them. I remember that West Ham game well. It was sort of like start of the what was going wrong for Brendan Rodgers as well, the 3-0 defeat. So I think it'd be an interesting one. But like Gorsy says, I think they obviously got a lot of energy about them West Ham at the moment, but I think that Antonio injury will take some of the sting out of it for Liverpool. And I just think, to be honest, what filled me with confidence is seeing Liverpool go to Everton, who were playing very, very well at the time, and dominate the game in such a way that sort of reassured me that despite that defeat at Aston Villa, that this still is a very, very good Liverpool team. So I would still expect Liverpool to dominate the ball tomorrow. And, you know, whether West Ham can keep Liverpool out for 90 minutes, I'm not so sure. You know, that they are conceding goals. So, you know, I think it might be a bit of a high scoring one, maybe 4-2, 3-2, something like that. But I think Liverpool will be very, very confident going into it. But I echo what Gorsy says. It's funny about David Moyes, isn't it? Because he's absolutely right about that. That spell at United seems to have hung around Moyes. You know, the whole, even David Moyes is a football genius. You know, that was a Liverpool banner that was displayed at United. And that was just Liverpool fans enjoying his ill fortune at United. But it doesn't mean that he was a bad manager overall. And it's funny how his stock has dropped because, yeah, he was such a good Everton manager. That's hard to be overlooked. So I think this idea that he's some sort of figure of fun is a bit silly. But Liverpool will be very confident going into tomorrow, even with the problems that they've got.
Yeah, well, let's get into the problems they've got, certainly with lineups, and let's go through our sort of team selector guys. Alisson back, of course, in recent times. He will be, I'm sure, between the sticks. Gorsy, come to you for the defensive formation. Is it going to be a 4? Is it going to be a 3? Klopp spoke about the difficulty of implementing tactical changes because of no time on the training ground. So how are we looking? We're going to stay with a 4?
Yeah, I think so. I think... the only one I can think of off the top of my head was when he played 3 at Brighton, which was before Van Dijk was even a Liverpool player. Coutinho was still there, so yeah, it should be a 4, shouldn't it?
And who's going to line up in there? Trent and Robbo, right and left back respectively, centre halves. I suppose that's where the debate is.
Yeah, I mean Gomez obviously is nailed on, but then I personally think, as I said on the pod, I think he'll go with Henderson. But why not? Why not go with Williams? Liverpool are going to dominate the ball, as Joe says. Might not have to do an awful lot of defending. So, for me, I'd like Williams to start, but I think it might be Henderson.
Well, we'll take the Williams. The charm offensive's worked there, Joe. We've won him round. Reece Williams to play centre-half. Joe, do you want to have your say on the defence or go straight into the midfield?
We'll go into the midfield. I was going to call Gorsy a big spoil sport because I thought he wasn't going to play Reece Williams, but yeah. We've won him over, so we can go into the midfield. Obviously, they're going to need an experienced one. I think he might stick with 4-2-3-1. So I think that the two would be Henderson, Wijnaldum, if Thiago isn't fit, which I don't think it will be the case with it. So, yeah, Henderson, Wijnaldum, and then your three with them would be Firmino, Jota and Mane. So, a nice experienced midfield.
Just wonder there if there's any chance then James Milner even gets spoken about as a centre-half, or is he maybe physically not into that position? I suppose we'll have to wait and see. But Gorsy, what's your midfield?
I don't think the 4-2-3-1 has clicked against Sheffield United or Midtjylland, Liverpool. should have had Mitchelland out of sight, really, with the firepower that was in their ranks that night. I know Klopp made the four changes, but there was still enough to do the damage, and it didn't really, did it? It took Mane and Salah to come on and change it. So I'm going to go with the three, and it's basically the only three available, isn't it? So it's Henderson, because I've got Williams at centre-back, Henderson, Milner, and Wijnaldum.
Yeah, so anyway, let's get...
Who does he go with then? Sorry. Well, who does he go with then, Gorsi, if your Henderson theory is correct? Then is he going with Jones into that midfield?
If Henderson starts at centre-back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, then it would be an option of he might have to keep it with the two, mightn't he? But as you say, Jones is the other option. But if these are our lineups, if these are what we're playing against West Ham, then let's go with Williams at centre-back and Henderson in midfield.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. And then your forward three. Joe, who's your forward? Because you had Firmino as the one
was Salah. Sorry. Salah usually plays as the one when they play 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, Gusty, your forward three, the three, or is Firmino going to drop out in this one?
No, I think you've got to find a place for Jota at the moment, because I think you've got to reward his good performances. He's been Liverpool's brightest player, hasn't he, the last couple of games? He's popped up with a couple of important goals. So if you're not staying in the team when you're doing that, then you know what's the hope for anyone? So keep him in. And I think I'm going to give Firmino a little bit of a breather. I'm going to play Mane down the middle, Salah on the right, and Jota on the left.
Yeah, happy days. Right, let's get into our match predictions then. Joe, what's the score going to be?
Well, I've just said I thought there'd be goals, so I'm going to say 3-2 Liverpool.
It was 3-2 last time they played at Anfield as well, wasn't it? Gusty, what are you going to go for?
2-1, I think. I think it'll be another tough one, real one, where I think Liverpool are still looking a bit fragile. They're not quite firing on all cylinders, but they will get the job done, as they invariably tend to.
I think
Liverpool could go behind, like they went behind against Sheffield United. You know, they just seem to be... Team seems to be catching them cold a little bit at the moment, so I wouldn't surprise you if they went behind, but yeah, still back them to come through.
I think it's going to be a real controlled, assured performance, 2-0 for Liverpool, and no let up in sight. Do make sure you stick across the Liverpool Echo for all of the match blog, match reaction and everything coming up, as well as here on the Blood Red channel. We'll have the debrief after the game, as well as Jurgen Klopp's post-match press conference. But from myself, Guy Clark, Joe Rimmer and Paul Gorst, it'll be over to Jurgen Klopp's boys, Mane and Salah, looking to cause mischief on Halloween at Anfield. From us, it's bye for now.
You've been listening to the Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo.